United Nations Radio presents Let Freedom Ring. Let Freedom Ring, a program in which we commemorate the first anniversary of the adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, December the 10th, 1948.
One year ago today, the General Assembly of the United Nations adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. On this anniversary, as we approach the goal of mankind's full emancipation, let us not forget that this broad highway along which we journey now was once a track, only a clearing in the forest of man's history. A track which led to Runnymede, where Englishmen, jealous of their rights which had been trampled underfoot by King John, forced this unruly monarch to consent to Magna Carta. And twisting in and out between the centuries through many lands, the track became a path. And then in 1789, it leads along a Paris street, resounding to the shout of liberty, equality, and fraternity. And so was born the Frenchman's Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen. From Paris, the road spread westward to a new world. We find it again among the hills of Pennsylvania, at Gettysburg, where we can picture Abraham Lincoln standing on this famous battlefield, clasping a small piece of paper on which were penciled the notes for his famous address proclaiming freedom for all at the close of the American Civil War.
Except in our imagination, we cannot hear the voices of all these pioneers in man's struggle to be free. To tell the story of this latest declaration of his rights, we have recorded for posterity the speeches of those who have worked together to set the standard of man's principles. And so that you can hear these voices, let's begin our story back in January 1941.
In January 1941, Great Britain stood alone, facing a Europe groaning under Hitler's yoke. And in this midnight of man's despair, he saw a star. A star that was to grow into a sun, to light the path of man until he reached the high noon in his struggle to be free. This ray of hope that lifted man from his despondency was but a voice. But in this voice rang out a challenge which spelled doom to freedom's enemies. This voice belonged to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He gave a message to the Congress of the United States and to the world.
In the future days that we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, which translated into world terms means economic understandings which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants everywhere in the world. The fourth is freedom from fear.
These, then, were the four freedoms as set out by Franklin D. Roosevelt. Basic freedoms, which would clarify the war aims of nations united in fighting oppression. 7 months later, in August 1941, Franklin D. Roosevelt and Winston Churchill met aboard a warship somewhere in the North Atlantic. And here was born the Atlantic Charter, in which were incorporated the principles of Roosevelt's four freedoms. And on New Year's Day in 1942, a score of governments signed the famous Declaration by United Nations, in which the principles of the Atlantic Charter were upheld, and in which the nations declared,
"We are convinced that complete victory over our enemies is essential to defend life, liberty, independence, and religious freedom, and to preserve human rights and freedoms in our own land as well as in other lands."
And so when the nations met at San Francisco in 1945, the international atmosphere was charged with the doctrine of basic human rights and freedoms. It was quite clear that Nazi and fascist violation of every basic right had been one of the causes of the war, and that adequate safeguards would have to be provided to ensure that such violations wouldn't happen again. And it was against this background that the men at San Francisco signed the United Nations Charter.
"We, the peoples of the United Nations, determined to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, which twice in our lifetime has brought untold sorrow to mankind, and to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, in the equal rights of men and women and of nations large and small, and to establish conditions under which justice..."
And in accordance with the express instructions of the United Nations Charter, the Commission on Human Rights was set up on February the 16th, 1946, and thus began the Herculean task of getting the nations of the world to agree as to what were the rights of man. What are these rights?
The right to freedom of speech.
Agreed.
The right to a fair trial.
Agreed.
The right of man to marry whom he chooses.
Agreed. And many more besides. Dr. Charles Malik, Lebanese scholar, was a man on whom fell much of the work in the drafting of these rights. Halfway through his task, he issued a progress report.
"What we are trying to do in the declaration, which we have just half finished, is to enumerate in precise terms man's fundamental rights and freedoms. The important thing in all this is that the declaration will be the outcome of the combined thought of 58 nations. It will therefore express the fundamental convictions of the present age with respect to what constitutes the dignity of man. It will be an international document of the first order of importance, and it will be read and pondered by our children's children."
The preparation of this document wasn't easy. Different nations, different societies, had varying concepts of human rights. It was the job of the Assembly's Social, Humanitarian, and Cultural Committee to reconcile all these different concepts and merge them into one statement. Halfway through the deliberations, Canada's delegate, Mr. Ralph Maybank, explained why the work of the committee was progressing slowly.
"Each nation has strong views on human rights. These views are based on juridical and philosophical concepts within the states concerned. Resulting from such diversity, 150 amendments have been submitted. Each amendment invokes debate. Debate takes time. It would not be fair, however, to brand the long discussions as wasted time. Full exchange of views, even when heated and lengthy debate ensues, is a healthy aspect and an essential aspect of any international conference."
But steadily the work went on. And on December the 10th, 1948, the General Assembly of the United Nations met to approve the first International Declaration of Human Rights. It was adopted by an overwhelming majority, 48 votes in favor, none against, with 8 nations abstaining. How long do you imagine it took for the member nations to vote? Perhaps a minute, but a timeless influence on the centuries ahead. We take you back with us to Paris, where at the Palais de Chaillot, Dr. Herbert Evatt of Australia, then President of the General Assembly, has just announced the result of that vote. Here he is, addressing the delegates.
"It is the first occasion on which the organized community of nations has made a declaration of human rights and fundamental freedoms, and it has the authority of the body of opinion of the United Nations as a whole, and millions of people, men and women and children, all over the world, many miles from Paris and New York, will turn for hope and guidance and inspiration to this document. And I must congratulate, and I do congratulate, those who worked so zealously to achieve this result and for so long. And it's particularly fitting that here tonight should be the person who's been the leader in this movement, assisted though she's been by many others, the person who has raised to even greater honour so great a name. I refer, of course, to Mrs. Roosevelt, the delegate of the United States.
And as we listen to the delegates applaud the name of Mrs. Roosevelt, we see her, she who has done so much to further the cause of human liberty, mounting the rostrum to address the General Assembly of the United Nations.
We stand today at the threshold of a great event, both in the life of the United Nations and in the life of mankind. This Universal Declaration of Human Rights may well become the international Magna Carta of all men everywhere. We hope its proclamation by the General Assembly will be an event comparable to the proclamation of the Declaration of the Rights of Man by the French people in 1789, the adoption of the Bill of Rights by the people of the United States, and the adoption of comparable declarations at different times in other countries.
The Declaration of Human Rights in itself does not create legal remedies. This will be done in a future document, the Covenant of Human Rights, already being prepared, which will be binding on all the nations who sign it. This international declaration is a standard as set forth in its preamble in these words.
Now, therefore, the General Assembly proclaims this Declaration of Human Rights as a common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations, to the end that every individual and every organ of society, keeping this declaration constantly in mind, shall strive by teaching and education to promote respects for these rights and freedoms.
But many will ask, what does the Declaration of Human Rights do? What influence or power does it have? Perhaps this question can best be answered in the words of Abraham Lincoln as he spoke of the men who drafted the United States Declaration of Independence.
They did not mean to assert the obvious untruth that all were actually enjoying that equality, or that they were about to confer it upon them immediately. In fact, they had no power to confer such a boon. They meant to set up a standard maxim for free society, which should be familiar to all, constantly looked to, constantly labored for, and even though never perfectly attained, constantly approximated, and thereby constantly spreading and deepening its influence, and augmenting the happiness and value of life to all people, of all colors, everywhere.
And so it is today. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a standard set not by one nation for its people, but by all nations as a yardstick for the world. December the 10th, 1948. Adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. A date our children's children will remember as they learn their longer history in larger freedom.
You've been listening to Let Freedom Ring, a program to commemorate the first anniversary of the adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights on December the 10th, 1948. This has been a feature presentation of United Nations Radio and was produced at Lake Success, New York.